Hi guys, this is Rachel in recovery. We've got a special guest coming back to tell the rest of her story, Hannah. Thanks for coming back, Hannah. We're going to just start off with the questions.
I'm going to talk about a little bit about your financial abuse that you experienced. Tell us a little bit about that.
So it kind of goes with like fundraising stuff. Everybody, specific amounts of money that people like raised. And so everybody raised money together. So like, even if I had reached my goal, then if Sally hadn't reached her goal yet and was needing help, I was raising over my goal to cover her costs, which kind of in theory is how like fundraising works, but we weren't fundraising as a group. And like, there were group fundraising opportunities, but there, when we were specifically like going home for 2 weeks and talking to people and receiving donations to like go on this trip and into our like accounts to pay for it, we were expected to raise more if somebody in our group receiving updates weren't reaching their goal. And any extra money that we raised wouldn't like be returned to people and say, oh, we raised, you know, we're over our goal. Or even, you know, returning money to people if we would reach like way over our goal. I guess some people would have donated it back to the organization anyway and helped with other fees, but it necessarily wouldn't go to our outreach trip. It could go to anything on the base.
Oh.
So, like, in any fund, if we raised extra money, which I was like, that's really weird, but okay. Or any money left over from the trip, which there might be. You never know. But wouldn't be credited towards us back. It would go back into the organization. And I'm not saying that everybody that donates, like, missionaries need, like, support and stuff, but the people on the base, like, the base doesn't pay them. So, like, the organization doesn't pay you to be there. Like, you have to raise your own support to be there. And so then the base pays you, kind of like you're an independent contractor.
Yeah.
But you're kind of not really. And so, like, some places do it that way, some places don't. But that was just kind of weird. But then after I left, they sent me a bill for a plane ticket, a non-refundable plane ticket that I never used. They charged me for letters, envelopes, stamps, papers, like the letter, like printed, that I never sent out. Like, I had addressed all of my letters to who they were going to, including the return label and stuff, all of the letters, but I hadn't put any postage on it. No, I hadn't gotten the letters yet. Because that was another thing. I didn't get my letters yet because they said that there was a problem with the last group being printed, but I knew it was all on me and they were waiting for me to like submit to them and say, yes, I'll do this. These are my final numbers. And I never did. And so everybody else received their letters except for me. And I was like, this is not right. And so they charged for all of that. And I was like, I never sent them out. And they're not even stamped. Like, they're not viable to use. And so they charged for that. And then they charged outreach fees occurred on my behalf. So, like, transportation and food and stuff like that. Like, obviously, you have to set things up. But, like, I spent 6 weeks there. And there's more than enough money left. Because they have a percentage breakdown of, like, if you leave, how much money you'll get back. And so by week 6, you don't get anything. But if I left in week 5, I would get 20% of that money back. And so, like, the breakdown was kind of weird. And I was like, I should have fought it, but I didn't. I paid it and was like, I'm done with you. Like, get out of here. But they weren't specific about it in the beginning. They're like, these are outreach fees occurred on your behalf, but it wasn't itemized. It wasn't broken down. It was like, here's this lump sum total of money that you need to pay within a month. And my parents and I were like, this is weird. And so they called the base leader and was like, we need an itemized list of like what this is, because we're not just going to pay a bill. You know, it wasn't even listed like, you know, like a medical bill that has things broken down of what cost what. Like, that's what they were expecting on this invoice. And even on an invoice, if you get work done, it breaks it down. There was no breakdown until we specifically asked for it. And then they're like, pay it in a month. And they didn't threaten anything else. But like, we took time to pay it. But then they're like, well, then they threw the contract back and said, we were expected to pay this. But I was like, I never actually went. Like, there's nothing here. I never raised any money so far, and you still have all of my tuition, which was like $3,200.
So, wow. Like, that's a lot of money. Yeah. That would have been a red. Yeah, that would have been a red flag for me. I mean, I went and studied in Italy for that much.
Yeah. And so I'm like, you still have all that money, you know, and like that includes like room and board and materials and stuff and food. But you're like, you still have all that money, and I'm sure you have plenty of money to cover this. But they had me pay for it, and I was like, fine, we're done with it. That's it. Bye. See you later. And I never heard from them again. So, yeah.
Well, I don't know if I would have actually paid it. I would have been just walked away, and I don't know. So
I wanted to, but my mom's like, you have to pay this. You like did this. And we eventually got them down to where I can only pay for the non-refundable plane ticket. But I'm like, I didn't even like get a credit for it. No, from like the airline or anything. So it's like, they bought a non-refundable plane ticket. And like, that's all them. Like, you don't buy non-refundable plane tickets unless you absolutely know you're going.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, I know your mom's trying to do the right thing, and, you know, and yeah, those situations are just tough to figure out what is the right thing to do.
Right. And nobody really knew, and we're like, you know, what was going to happen if we didn't, and we're like, we'll just pay it and be done with it, and that chapter of my life was over.
Okay. Tell us about the trouble you got in for questioning authority.
So they have, like, weird rules, too. So, like, we had the base itself, some of the classrooms were in a church, so, like, next door. And so we kind of had, like, a quote-unquote dress code of, like, what was, like, presentable, and everything had to edify or glorify God. So in our, like, clothing, too, and, like, I wore sweatpants one day, but they weren't ratty, they weren't tatty, like, they weren't old, like, they were decent sweatpants, and I wore a sweatshirt, like, there wasn't an old one, it wasn't tattered, it wasn't ratty. And they're like, well, I'm not going to ask you to change, but I could if I wanted to, but I'm not going to. But you're violating the dress code because I wore sweatpants and a sweatshirt to class. Like, okay, I can't be comfortable one day. And they're like, well, we want to keep up our appearance that we're godly people and we look like good to be here because we're renting this space from this church. Kind of what it comes down to.
I'm sorry.
And I was like, okay, that's really weird, but, right? Why would you say something like that? They didn't really, like, punish me, but when I would ask questions, they would, like, spin it and turn it back around and making it my fault, and they're the ones, like, they're protecting themselves. And I just kind of stopped. And, like, let them do their antics and be like, and just blew them off.
Can you give us an example of that?
It was mostly, so my, like, small group leader, she would say, like, you know, in the Bible it says to not be prideful. And I was like, yes, I do know that. Like, Jesus talks about that. And I don't think in the situation that I am, I'm just trying to understand where you're coming from, and I never got solid answers, though they always just spun it back around to them and wrapped it around and used scripture and be like, this is where it says this, and I don't remember specific scriptures, but they're like, this is what you should be doing, and you should be taking it to God daily, and you should be laying at the foot of the cross. And I was like, I do, but like, I wasn't showing visible, like, yeah, I'm a Jesus freak, like I am, but not like kind of throw it in your face and like have all these scriptures memorized and be like, this is for this distance. I'm like, I don't do that. And they're trying to get me to submit and understand and be like, well, you said and blah blah blah, and I'm like, but I didn't, you said that. So
gaslighting you
pretty much. Yeah. And they would like, they kept me from local outreach too, which was weird because we're supposed to be like serving our community, and then you're like, instead we're gonna have a one-on-one and you and I will miss local ministry when we're doing what Jesus told us to do, is like serve others. And I'm like, what's the point of this? There's no point. Like, we're,
what?
It's a it's a double standard. You're like, you're wanting us to be the hands and feet of Jesus, and yet you're holding me from that because I was, like, refusing to change some numbers that you thought were prideful, that I was being prideful about it. So you're going to hold me from this experience to serve others, but yet here we are, and we're, like, going to have a conversation that's going to get us absolutely nowhere.
So ostracizing you because
yes,
you weren't doing, you weren't a robot.
Yeah.
That's frustrating.
Oh, it was. And I'm like, I'm 20 by this point. And so you're like, you know, I've been around the block enough to be like, are you sure? Like, why, what are you trying to achieve here? And I even like said that, and they're like, well, we just wanted to make sure that you know that when we deem fit, you'll get your letters. I'm like, that's not the point. It was never, it was, that's not the point. That's not why we're here.
No, it's not. No, was there any specific poor doctrine that really?
Well, they were, I'm not against scripture, like, memorization by any means, but, like, we had to memorize specific scriptures, and they liked Philippians a lot, which Philippians is a good book, but they liked anything that Paul wrote, so, like, all of the scriptures that we, like, were to memorize were from Paul's writings, from his letters, and a lot to the Philippian church. And if we didn't have it completely memorized, they would quote-unquote dock points from us. Or, like, whatever, that we, if we didn't get so many scriptures memorized, we wouldn't graduate the school. And, like, even the whole time, like, we're doing supplemental stuff, like, we were to pick a gospel and read through it and answer questions, though maybe it was all four. I don't know, which would be a lot of reading. But we have to, like, go through the Gospels and, like, answer questions, like, on our own time, too. And we were to have that completed by the time that we were to, like, graduate, so to speak. And, like, if we didn't, like, they wouldn't let us graduate. So I don't know if anybody had not done it. But they did a lot of forced quiet times, too. So in the morning, we would get up and then have an hour of quiet time, and then we could, and then we'd, like, go to the school for the day or the class for the day, and then not come back till dinner, after dinner time, because we were there, like, all day, because the housing wasn't on campus, other than the guy's house, and we, like, we just spent all of our time there, like, there wasn't hardly any time to ourselves. And even if there was time for ourselves, like, people didn't want to go out and explore the city. So you're like, you're in a new city and you don't want to go see things that you live in. Like, you live there and you don't want to do stuff. Like, that's a little weird.
Yeah. I mean, most of the time, I mean, I know when our church would do ministry or whatever, I mean, they take us to go do stuff around the, you know, the cities and things that were unique to that area, you know?
Yeah.
If you were, like,
and that's kind of what I was expecting. Like, I had been on mission trips before, and, like, we'd have free days and do stuff around the city and, like, see stuff and meet new people, but that did not happen there.
Well, and then
I'm trying to think of other examples. Like, oh, we did a Father Heart of God, like, teaching, and I thought it was kind of weird. And, like, to specifically, like, get to the Father Heart of God and understand what God's, like, heart is for. Like, I know it's, like, for us, but it was, like, an entire week, which was kind of weird, in my opinion. And, like, this random guy, who's, like, a big guy, like, over 6 foot, and, like, big dude, came to, like, teach about it. But then at the end of the week, like, the people would start bragging about something during the Father Heart of God week. Like, you'd have a cry fest. And it's just, like, the most cathartic thing. And they were, like, hyping it up, love bombing it kind of thing. And you're like, okay. Like, I know crying is a good thing, but, like, why would this, like, be a communal cry thing? Like, you know, it was weird. And so, like, here's this guy that's, like, talking to each one of us. Like, we're in silent prayer and, like, just being there in this room. And here's this guy that's, like, standing in front of us and is, like, I'm, like, he goes, this is God giving you a hug. And you're, like, okay, well, I don't know you. Like, I don't mind giving hugs, but here's this man, like, giving me a hug, saying, this is God healing your heart. And he sees you and he loves you. And I'm like, I don't need you to tell me that. And especially, like, other people in the group had experienced, like, other things in their past, like, being sexually assaulted and stuff like that. So, like, that can be extremely triggering for people.
Oh, yeah. I mean, most definitely.
And, yeah. And I was like, this is weird. And then they liked to make people feel, like, ashamed of, like, something about them. Like, they wanted us to be, give their, like, darkest, like, secret or, like, something that, like, only your closest friends would know. But, like, we hadn't known these people very long. And so, like, they're, like, one, forcing us to be close. And, like, people are saying, like, all these things. And I'm like, I don't know you people. I don't want to share lots of things with you. Like, it's only been a couple of weeks. And no. And I didn't. I didn't want to. Or even if they made me, it was some stupid thing. But people, they were, like, really taken aback by it. They're like, why are we doing this? But then, you know, you look back on it, you're like, oh, it's just a way for forced inclusion. Like, everybody knows everybody, and then nobody can say anything bad about each other.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and they want you to build intimacy, but if intimacy is built too soon, then it crumbles.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And then they also made the whole class agree that we were to stay, like, single throughout the whole, like, course of the school. And if we wanted to start dating, it had to be, like, ratify is not the right word, but checked by, like, other people around us and, like, other leaders to, like, make sure and that we're on the same page that, like, a boy and a girl could be together or, like, date. And then there are other stories of bases and people, like, couples that came together that were engaged but not married yet. This didn't happen at my base, but I've read stories about it, to where their leaders were manipulating each person individually and saying, well, he doesn't like you because, and he told me that he doesn't like you because, and, like, separating them completely.
Oh, wow. That sounds very manipulative. And
yeah, and even though, like, we agreed that we wouldn't date each other during that, but by the end of it, there was multiple people that had gotten married or engaged or dating each other by the end of it. So,
yeah.
I don't think there was a point. Like, it was always going to happen, and a lot of those people stayed. So, like, if you aren't one of the ones that they want to be on staff, they won't bother you about it. Like, I was never really approached about being on staff. And I knew I wasn't going to be. That's something I wanted to do. And so, that's something that I wanted to do. So, I didn't. And they didn't pursue me about it.
Okay, one last question. How has this impacted your faith?
When I got back, I was at a different, I went to a different church when I got back, than the church that I grew up in, and I went there, and they were really familiar with YOM, and they had never really heard of anything like that happening, before what happened to me, and they were, like, taken aback by it, but now they support a lot of people that go to YOM, so I, like, don't go there anymore, and I'm leery about it, but it's impacted my faith in that you, like, hear in doctrine for so long, you're like, you know, this is how you're supposed to hear the voice of God. And you're like, well, you can't tell me how I hear the voice of God. And, like, I know how I have to hear it. So, like, you're giving me all of these steps to say, like, this is how I need to hear the voice of God. Or, like, this is how I need to enter intercessory prayer. And this is how I need to have a vision. And it's taken a long time to, like, not do that and be like, wait, I can totally, like, be in prayer with God and not have to, like, follow all these steps and be like, oh my God, this is how God talks to me. But, like, no, like, I can sit and be like, oh yeah, in prayer now and be like, oh yeah, that's kind of how it's supposed to be. And more like natural and not forced. Like they wanted us to like force to hear the voice of God. And now that I'm at a better church with better people and sound Christian friends, it's like I can put all that away and be like, okay, we're building this back from the ground up again. And even though I grew up in the church and knew things, it's like, oh yeah, there's a lot that has changed and happened in a short, like, 6 week period of time. Like, I do have quiet time with God, but, like, it's on my own time, but for a long time I didn't because it was a forced thing. Like, we were forced to have this. And now it's not. I can just be like, oh yeah, I'm going to go read my Bible and spend time with God and, like, in the Word and, like, read it and actually enjoy it and not be, like, indoctrinated and, like, forced to do things anymore. Fair enough.
No, I can see that as a problem. Is there anything else you want to tell us before we wrap up?
I don't think so.
Well, thanks, Hannah, for coming on our show, and hopefully you can come on here for another reason later down the road.
yeah.
But thanks for being here, and all right, listeners, you can always tune in next Thursday at 10 a.m., or you can always follow us on your favorite podcast platform, or you can follow us on your favorite social media platform, or you can come to rachelonrecovery.com. And if you're wanting to come on the show, just contact us on rachelonrecovery.com. There's an information page for that. And I will see you guys next Thursday. Thanks.